These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady's in the gun with a trips punch right. White motions into the backfield. Gordon's put left on third and a half yard. Brady takes the snap. In fact, it's a direct snap to James White. He escapes a defender in the back and runs it to the right, and he is stopped. A direct snap to White, who ran it to the right, and he was stopped on the play.
Hate it.
Loss back at the 26.
Ridiculous.
And now the two-minute warning takes us to a break.
Flex him out. Motion him in. Reverse this. Reverse that. You got three healthy backs now. Line the thing up and run it behind a fullback. Because now we talk about line continuity up front. You got all your linemen. You got a fullback. You've got Burkhead back this week. You've got Sony Michel who's been running. And you go back to that chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down. God, that just drives you crazy. I mean, your defense pitched a goose egg here in the first half. And all you got to do is pick up a yard on third down, and you control the clock in the way the half ends. And you're getting the ball to come back up. But now you put your defense in a tough spot where, okay, now they can get in a rhythm here before the half. The momentum shifts.
And it begs the question, why not Brady under center? He's been so good throughout his career.
There.
Automatic on the sneak.
Anything.
But you eliminate that as a possibility with him in the gun. Cousins takes the step, drops back, looks to his right. He throws a fade, back corner of the end zone, Thielen wide open. Touchdown, Minnesota. And the Vikings execute beautifully in the final minutes of the opening half. And now they will orchestrate their end zone celebration after the grab by Adam Thielen.
That's fun. That's what you do when you direct snap it to your back on third and one, because you can't pick up a first down by running it.
As Mass points out, it wasn't even third and one, it was third and a half. Hour two, Greg Bedard in our Town Fair Tire studio. So that great Zolak call ripping the direct snap to James White. What's your take on that play and others in those short yardage situations, Greg?
I didn't mind that play that much. They probably, on film, they've seen certain situations and the Vikings get sucked up and they thought maybe they had a big play on the outside. Look, if Gronk makes his block, they probably make it. But, you know, those plays are about execution, and everybody has to execute. And when you have a tight end who's operating at, like, 60% capacity, some of that stuff is missing and gets messed up, and so it doesn't work out. But, so you know, largely, you just want to see them – you want to see the Patriots be able to just line up and get that either running or some, you know, high-percentage throw. I don't love it. I don't love a lot of the stuff that they're doing with this sort of spread and touch passes and this and that, but – this is where they are.
So the first guy in the backfield on that play that disrupted it was Gronk's guy? Or was it the guy who made the tackle? Because if you remember, White started to go to the right, and somebody got him like 6 yards
behind
the line.
Yeah, someone penetrated, yeah.
I mean, was that Gronk's guy? Is that what you're...
I got to go back and look at the play. I forget.
I mean, he did. He had a brutal day. Gronk had a brutal day.
Okay,
he's just not the same guy.
What we were hitting on yesterday, Greg, is that a lot of it is, I think, a lack of confidence in Sony Michel. There were a lot of short yardage plays. I mean, Devlin got those touchdowns. You had a fourth and one where they threw to Hogan. You had a third and goal at the one where they threw to Edelman. You had that third and a half where they direct snap it to James White. And I think, you know, there's Sony Michel in the short yardage isn't there yet. And so they're sort of stuck, or they think they are.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to use this short yardage stuff as an opportunity to rip Sony Michel. I know. But look, I mean, he's a smallish feature back. They're not the first team to need somebody else, a bigger guy to pull short yardage off. So it's not Sony's fault. It's the team's fault.
So
it's a personnel failure.
So Michelle's considered an undersized guy?
Sure.
Really? I say, yeah, he doesn't look that big to me either, especially up top.
I don't know. All right, okay.
Payton Jr. at the beginning of the show in jest.
Yes.
So then you say you don't want to use the opportunity to rip Sony Michel? Like, to me, he just doesn't have power to get through there.
I would agree with that, but that's not an indictment on him. It's an indictment on their personnel.
So it is what it is. He just is what he is there.
Yes.
He's not suited to that
just,
duty.
Right. I mean, it's just like James White, you're not going to bang between the tackles because he's not great there. Does that mean he's not a really good running back? No, of course he is.
Okay, we continue with your phone calls. 10 questions coming up here in a little bit. Tony and Holbrook, quickly.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show. Quick question. How much do you guys think that we have left to see of Brady?
So whether it's two or three.
Honestly,
Tony, I'm sorry, I cut you off. I think it's 2 or 3 years. But I'd like to see them draft another guy now and develop him. I've always liked that model. I want that model. I want Bill just to reload the Garoppolo thing. Okay, but you got to do it soon because I think Bill's here for the foreseeable future, but not forever. And Brady is a 2 to 3 year window. I mean, come on, like that's you can't expect much more than that. So every year that goes by, they sort of waste another year off that clock. So I'd like to see them do it sooner rather than later.
Yes, they need to start the Garoppolo process again, or it can be quicker if they draft a guy higher. But I don't know. I think this franchise is basically, I don't know if beholden is the right word, but they're on Tom's timetable. Tom's going to decide when he wants to hang it up. So who knows? He says 45 or beyond. I mean, what? He's going to go play someplace else?
Well, don't be stupid is all I'm saying to the Patriots. Don't just take him at his word. Always have that next guy ready. Don't be the Dolphins, who after Dan Marino retired, what was his last year, Greg? Was it 98? 97?
99.
They still don't have a guy. Two decades later, they still don't have a guy. Don't be that team. Don't be that team. Joe and Lincoln for us. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, Cordarrelle Patterson. Am I pronouncing that name right, first of all?
Doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. It does matter because you guys have a habit of dismissing people too early. I think that guy, he's fast. He's a kick returner, but he's powerful. Huh? How many times do you see him hitting the hole and knocking somebody backwards?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
How many plays was he on the field for offense on Sunday? Do you know?
No, but I'm saying he just started. It's his first half season. I'll bet James White first half season. I'll bet you guys were not saying anything good about him.
He was a rookie.
No. He was not 20. Good as a rookie.
He was a rookie.
He never played.
Patterson's been in the league, I don't know, 5-6 years. How many snaps did he get on offense?
Eight. And he caught 2 balls. That's a big day for him. That's like, in terms of efficiency, that was actually pretty good.
I'll give him credit for the second one. That was a good grab. He had to go down and get that. The first one, Bedard could have caught and gained 20 yards.
10.
Well, that pass where he made a great catch, I mean, because I was looking at it, and I'm like, well, it's either a great catch, which means it's a bad pass by Brady.
Or Patterson.
Because he had no pressure.
Yeah.
I don't think Patterson quite ran the wrong route the way Brady wanted it. So,
which is come back to me. Yes.
Yeah. But it worked out. I mean, it was a great catch for where he was. And I thought Patterson was great in his snaps this weekend.
Great. His 8 snaps.
I think Gordon, Patterson, you saw like the precise amount that they should be involved in the offense.
Eight snaps, that's enough.
Gordon, I'll grant you, I will eat some crow on Josh Gordon. I didn't think he'd be here by this point. I didn't think he'd be halfway productive by this point. So he's exceeded my expectations for him. So fine. Cordell Patterson, please. He sucks. He might blow too, but he at least sucks. At least half. Roy in Maine. Go ahead, Roy. No, he jumped off. You want to talk about Patterson, too. I'm not. Don't give me Cordell Patterson, would you please?
Yeah, Patterson's,
I mean,
the
again, there are some like some hellacious bad values on this team. He's one of them at over $3 million.
Oh, God, it's
and
terrible.
Dwayne Allen, you know, restructured. He's still in the 3 to 4 range. There's some guys that are just, you look at it and go like, that is ridiculous.
8 snaps. He was on the field for 8 snaps. The offense.
I'm good with 8.
I took my kids up to get an ice cream and came back and I missed his whole game.
Let's do 10 questions with Bedard right now.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
You want the answer? You've got to ask the question.
Do you have an opinion based on if you had to go with your gut, which way it would go?
Sometimes you have to ask it over and over and over again.
Why?
This is 10 Questions with Greg Bedard and Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we got 10 questions with Bedard. 10 questions, 10 minutes across the league. We got to stay on time. Jimmy, what are our buzzer options this week?
Gronk is dead. We have Robert James Gronkowski, just another tight end.
There it is. That's Murray's take of the week. Go.
Chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down.
Still not happy with that James White play. Go ahead.
If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there.
Middleton 16.
That's a great one. Next.
And I told you that's not how we're doing this.
Well, that's not how you're doing it.
Okay. Good Felger and Maz bickering. Go.
Apples to apples.
Okay. There's that one. Next.
6 years. Yeah.
That's what it's for. What's his face there? The closer who wants 6 years.
Kimbrel, right.
Go ahead, next. Okay, so let's just agree to disagree on that. I'd like to move on from that. So fine, you disagree with that part. Got it. Do you need to hash that out anymore? That was yesterday. Go on.
Why not? Well, yes. Why not? Well, why not? Why not? Why? Why not?
Oh, my God. Bailey, you want to punch me in the face?
Peak annoyance there. I don't know what the hell was going on.
Now, that was, again, the number raising thing. All right, go ahead, hit one.
Why not? Well, yes. Why not? Well, why not? Why not? Why? Why not?
Number 10. Craig, what's your lead takeaway on the Kareem Hunt situation?
That the NFL is still a bunch of idiots.
Okay, well, how are they most idiotic in this?
Well, they made the exact same mistake that they made with Ray Rice. Did they learn nothing? I thought they hired a whole, like, special victims unit to go investigate and get to the bottom of things and all this stuff. And now, just still gross incompetence. And the other takeaway is, where the hell is Roger? They've had him in hiding, and he's still screwed up.
So can I say that there was nothing that I learned from this that I didn't already know? The only thing I can tell you is that when Hunt got released, I was surprised. I didn't see it coming. Not for that guy. Ray Rice was easy. I think from that standpoint, I think the sacrifice the Chiefs made, whether they knew about it or didn't, and they probably did, was significant. They were willing to put their Super Bowl on the line.
Quickly, does he deserve another chance? And if so, where would be a good fit?
Yes, I think eventually. I mean, once he goes through counseling and he does everything, I think everybody deserves a second chance, with zero tolerance. I think a place like Indy would be good for him. I think, you put him together with Luck in that place, I think he has a chance.
Yes, and Philly.
I thought about Philly.
Next.
6 years. Yeah.
Number 9, there's going to be a coaching theme this week. We talk all the time about college coaches. We want to go to the pros, Urban Meyer, Nick Saban. Please name for me a pro coach who belongs in the college ranks.
Mike Tomlin. For all his rah-rah stuff. That plays on the college level. Doesn't play in the pros.
Josh McDaniels. I think he's perfect for college. Mm. I do. I look at McDaniels. He just screams like, Boise State or something like that. He screams it, I think.
I'm with Greg on this. Mike Tomlin. I mean, everyone says his best attribute is just a player's coach, and that burns out in the NFL, and it leads to the stupidity and sloppiness you've seen with the Steelers this year and year in, year out. But if he goes to, like, LSU, college kids will listen to that.
If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there.
Middleton 16.
Number 8. That's excellent, Maz. If you could relegate a team, like European soccer, just ditch one team from the league because you can't stand the sight of them, who would it be?
The Bucks. I mean, every time they come up on the TV or you see, if you see they're on, like, isn't your instinct, like, don't you make a face like, I don't know if I don't want to watch that game. I never want to watch the Bucks ever in the history. Well, except when Derek Brooks and those guys were there. They were fun to watch. But outside of that, never want to watch them.
Tampa. But you could talk me into the whole state of Florida.
It's Tampa Bay. Worthless team in a worthless city in a worthless state.
I go Bengals there.
Oh, good one.
I go Bengals. They disgust me on every level. The Bills are a close second. Next. Okay, so let's just agree to disagree on that. I'd like to move on from that. So fine, you disagree with that part. Got it. Dude, you need to hash that out anymore? Again, God, could you be any more annoying, Felger? Number 7, with a month ago, who is the coach of the year in the National Football League?
You guys are going to love this. Here you go, Mass. B-O-B.
What?
Bill O'Brien? Boo?
They're 9-3. I mean, what? They went from 0-3? To 9-3?
Well, no, but he took him to 0-3, you understand. It's not like he took over the 0-3 team. He coached them to 0-3.
Yeah, maybe, but, whatever. I was looking outside the box, so,
That's so pathetic.
Matt Nagy. Nagy, the Bears. Bears to me, he's the guy, absolutely.
Maz, this one's for you. Pete Carroll.
I was just going to say, does Pete Carroll deserve votes, Murray?
He has three good players. Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, and Bobby Wagner. The rest is roster fodder and rookies. They start Barkevious Mingo on that team. Barkevious Mingo, who was a special teamer here, and stunk. I thought they would have five wins top. And I saw, you can't judge much by 538.com considering what happened with the election. Going into the game against Carolina, they were listed at 45% to make the playoffs. After the Eagles beat the Redskins last night, their odds are up to 88%. That team makes the playoffs. I think that's crazy.
Good call.
Petey has shown me something this year.
They've had a good year.
Really has. Next.
Now, it may be that Barack Obama wins the state, but it seems to me that, you got a lot of votes yet to cast. That
chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down.
Who is that again? Karl Rove.
Karl Rove.
Yes, Karl Rove from the previous election. Number six, who is the most overrated coach in the league, Greg?
Tomlin. I mean, look, every time they underachieve, and they do it every year, all of a sudden you got the Peter Kings of the world who trot out the record and look at this, and, they underachieve. You could see, I said they were going to lose in Denver. They were probably going to lose this game. They might not make the playoffs this year. There's a good chance of that. If the Patriots beat them and then they go down to New Orleans, good luck.
Adam Whitebread Gase.
Don't you have to be rated to be
vanilla,
overrated?
Yeah, by people like
you.
No,
but this is another guy that
you got him in Canton, for crying out loud. Wait till Gase takes over the Dolphins. He'll turn around Tannehill.
My ass.
It's Maz's boy, Mike Zimmer. Team looked real prepared here on Sunday. And how about beating a team with a winning record this year?
I think Mike Zimmer wants to kill his offensive coordinator.
No, yep. But then do it yourself if you're such a great head coach. Zimmer's on my list. Team never really feels quite as good as they should be. I also am beginning to wonder about Sean Payton a little bit. I think that team sort of ebbs and flows with its talent and more than the coaching that down there. But either way, next.
Why not? Well, yes. Why not? Well, why not? Why not?
This way.
Why? Why not?
Number five. Latest in the series, following today's theme, who's the biggest tool bag coach this season? Tool bag coach.
I went with Matt Patricia just for that one press conference about the cold weather game. And he said, and this one's for all the head coaches in the room. I mean, come on. Be a little bit more thin-skinned.
Is that the one where he told the guy to stop slouching?
No, that too. I forgot about that. That was a different press conference.
I went John Gruden. I just think that, with all the hype surrounding him and now throwing the challenge flag on the field and he claims he knew the rule. I don't know. He strikes me like the game has passed him by.
Matt Patricia, those press conferences, please, what an a-hole.
Tool bag. What a slob, too, on top of it. Do something first before you carry yourself like that, you buffoon. Next.
And I told you that's not how we're doing this.
Well, that's not how you're doing it.
Number four. Greg, your thought on the new catch rule and how it's played out this year?
Thought it's been great. It's now we've got to the point where if most people at a bar think it's a catch, it's a catch. Okay? It wasn't that difficult.
Exactly what the league wanted. They got more offense and they appeased the fan base. I mean, from their standpoint, they got exactly what they wanted.
I love it. Sort of looks like a catch. Good enough for me.
I'll tell you, I'm surprised and I was wrong. I thought it'd be a hot mess. It's really been flawless. It's like taking the whole catch controversy off the table.
Yes.
I mean, how many weeks, whether it's a Patriot game or a neutral site game, do we show up on Monday and saying, could you believe that call? No one knows what a catch. Have we done that once? Has there been one big catch rule?
I mean, just the Kyle Rudolph play on Sunday a little bit, but not a ton.
So that's a tiny example for us. But has there been a game? Has ESPN or the NFL Network been able to do one segment on a Monday saying, look at this catch rule. It's been totally eliminated.
Yeah, has Al Riveron done any big videos or anything like that this year?
It's unbelievable. And so I credit them, I suppose. But I did not think that would happen because I think we know what a catch is now less than ever. Like the Kyle Rudolph thing, he did not make a football move. There was no third action there on the sideline. I have no idea whether that's complete or incomplete under the new rules other than that broad thing. If it kind of looks like a catch, we're going to give you the catch. And it's worked. I can't believe it, but it's worked.
If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there.
Middleton 16.
Number three. What should be the next big rule change in the league?
It won't happen, but I would like to see the downfield contact expanded from 5 to 10 yards. Just give him a little bit more of a chance.
More contact in the secondary. Absolutely. It's too easy to throw the ball now. These guys getting 70% completion rates. It's absurd.
Yeah, even though they let J.C. Jackson get away with it this weekend.
But I think that's unrealistic. So something I think is realistic, change the scheduling so that you're not seeing teams in other conferences once every 4 years.
Excellent.
Like, good teams good one, play Murray. Good teams.
Excellent one. I like that one. Next.
6 years. Yeah.
Number two, who will be the 2019 league MVP? Next year's MVP is?
Oh, next year.
Oh, I messed that up too.
Yeah, because 2019 we're now, when it comes out.
Well, we're in.
Roll Hardy.
2019 season MVP, you schmucks.
Pat Mahomes.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Patrick Mahomes. This now, year that, and next.
Andrew Luck, next year's MVP.
Chicken bleep finesse stuff on third down.
Zoe's still mad with that call. Number one, what is the most dangerous team in the league right now who is currently outside of the top four seeds? The top four seeds right now, obviously, are Chiefs, Patriots, Rams, Saints. Who's the next team, the fifth team? Who is the most dangerous team outside of those four?
Chargers. Just because, you know, look, do I think they're going to get it done? No, but Rivers can just throw it all over the map. They have a good defense. Bosa's back now. They have a good secondary. That team can travel, and look what they did in Pittsburgh this weekend.
Houston. I knew he was going to pick San Diego. I had San Diego and Houston. I'm going Houston. They got a mobile quarterback who's making good decisions now. They got good weapons. They got talent on defense. I don't know about the coach, but they could have home field too.
B.O.B.
I thought it was Chicago, but now I think it was Dallas. Someone that could actually win a couple of playoff games, I think it's Dallas, especially because of that defense.
Okay, there we go. 10 questions. Nice and tidy in 10 minutes. Murray's updates right here. We come back with more Football with Bedard and your calls.
Felger and Maz. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think we all share in the responsibility. That's the toughest part. I mean, the players are the ones who are playing. Obviously, coaches have a responsibility to prepare and teach and demand, but the players are on the field performing, and obviously our performance level wasn't such that we could keep Mike in his place.
All right, to your phones in a second. There's an open line if you want it at 617-779-0985. Greg, first of all, your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, and how that played out this week in Green Bay?
Well, I mean, I think that Aaron quit at some point in this season. I mean, he played terrible. And I think there was a lot of communication issues between them. Kalen Kaler did a good story at MMQB about how, like, these backup quarterbacks were now, like, the go-between, basically, between Rodgers and McCarthy. And, you know, Rodgers would change plays. And, you know, that's no way to run an offense. Like, look, you might have issues with McCarthy's scheme and things like that. But, you know, there's a reason why these guys design these plays and put them into the game plans for these games. You know, stuff that they see on film, it's analytics, it's all this stuff. There's a reason why they do this. And when players don't run them as executed, then it's never going to work. It's just not. And so, you know, in my mind, McCarthy should have been harder on Rodgers and, I don't know, send him to the bench at some point or, you know, something to get the team back, because he decided not to do that. And, you know, this was his fate. So he might as well have tried something like that.
Okay, there you go. Back to your phones. You've been waiting patiently. Another caller wants to do this thing. Go ahead, Jay on the Cape.
Yeah, you guys are discussing a good, important thing for Green Bay, and I'm a fan, unfortunately. They have got to get Belichick. I think the timing could be better than we think. Look at what he's been through and traumatized here over the last couple of years, his words. And you mentioned earlier in a couple of other shows about how Belichick got here. And can't that same scenario be put together to get
I just don't see it. I just don't see it. He's got too much control here. It's either here or nothing. And Greg explained the dynamic there in Green Bay. It's not like, you know, there's benefits to having the DB billionaire owner. Like, you know, there's no threat of moving out there. You don't have to look at Jerry Jones up in the luxury box with his 14 kids. Who, you know, like there's some benefits to not having an owner there. But on the other hand, you also don't have the owner to say, here's complete control to a coach. And there's all these machinations that you have to jump through up there that I don't know if Bill would want.
There are actually some people, because I follow a lot of people back in Green Bay on Twitter. There are people on Facebook pages who are it's literally asking, did any other shareholders get a call from Mark Murphy to discuss McCarthy being fired? I mean, seriously, there are delusional people like that. These people with their, and you have one.
Yeah, sure.
You think that you have a voice in all this, and there's the shareholders meeting and a vote. I just can't see Belichick there. And he's got his fiefdom here. He's got it wired largely how he wants it. Why would you go someplace else and have to redo everything? To me, Nick Saban is the perfect guy.
Thank you.
It's now or never
for
him.
Thank you. Do it.
It's the other conference. I know his wife had a lot of issues in Miami because it's a pro sports town and they're really critical. Like, she loves being the queen in a college town. That's like a college town.
Love it.
She can go there and be on TV shows and all that stuff.
Oh, I'm so in.
It'd be so hokey. It'd be great.
Christian in Foxborough with Jason, Jason McCourty take. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, what's up, Bob? Dad, I just want to get your thoughts on Jason McCourty. I know we don't really look at Pro Football Focus or whatever, all that stuff, but he was ranked number 7th overall, 7th best corner. I just want to get your take. When I first saw that, it was pretty eye-opening. Thank you.
So, according to PFF, Devin McCourty.
Jason.
No. Stephon Gilmore is the number 1 ranked cornerback, sorry. And Jason McCourty, 7. How do you feel about that?
First of all, I don't put a whole lot of stock in their cornerback numbers. I don't like how they do things there. And, you know, too often if it's zone coverage or man coverage, I don't think they account well enough for that stuff. But in general, I think Jason McCourty's been really good. I mean, he's been a breath of fresh air. He's really sort of, I think his experience, his football IQ, I think it's been sort of a missing piece in the secondary. They can do a lot of different things with him. He's not the most overly physical guy, but, I think he's been really good this season.
Okay. He's getting better, too. He's another one that's getting better. At the beginning of the year, I thought he was a train wreck.
Is Gilmore the best corner in the league?
You know, I was looking at this because I got a question at one point.
No.
Somebody asked me, if there's one defensive player in the league, who would you... They you had to pick a defensive player to build your team around. Who would it be in the league? And at first I was like, well, you know, if I have a shutdown cornerback like a Revis in his prime... I would want that because it eliminates the best receiver on the other team. And then I looked at the cornerbacks. I don't really think I want any of them to do that. So I went with Aaron Donald. But Gilmore's been really good. Is he the best cornerback in the league? I have no idea.
Ramsey? I mean, how do you say no to Ramsey? I'll tell you, the other one I love is that kid in Cleveland. Like, you know, first.
Yeah, the rookie?
Ward? Is it Denzel Ward?
Yes.
Boy, if you were going to pick a young corner in the league who's got room for growth and is already good, he might be the guy.
Okay, Jim Murray said yesterday that Gronk is dead. The character of Gronk is dead. The Gronk as we know it is dead. And Greg Bedard agrees. Alex and Hingham, your thoughts?
Yeah, that was exactly what I wanted to. First, Felger, that why not drop has got to be one of the most annoying things I've ever heard
on
the radio.
So bad.
the TB12 method and Gronk. And to a lesser extent, Edelman, starting to rely more and more on that. A lot of people said Gronk looked much leaner, thinner this season. Perhaps the TB12 method doesn't work for all the positions on the field, especially contact positions.
Your thoughts there, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, with the more evidence that we have, to me, I think it's trending in that direction. I mean, it's, you know, it works great for, you know, Brady because he's a quarterback and he can be really lean and, you know, and we don't exactly know the exact mix for different positions as far as strength training and things like that. But I can probably guess that Belichick's probably snorting about the TB12 method and, you know, not lifting weights and things like that.
I mean, that he
definitely snorting
that he couldn't pick up that extra yard on that play you mentioned earlier, and that they ended, you know, that was the thing that ended up on the 3rd-and-1 direct snap to James White. But that Gronk couldn't get that. That's mind blowing.
It was a complete clear out for Gronk to be one-on-one with a little safety,
throw the guy
normally
out of the club.
Throw the guy out of the club, rumble, stumble for 40 or 50 yards, and he can't advance the half yard to get the first down.
He gets stood up.
Yeah.
And he got stood up and couldn't get there.
Because Gronk strong, Robert James Gronkowski weak.
Mike in Boston, quickly. Mike.
Hello, yes. Mike, early in that game, Cooks was running the ball around the corner very successfully a couple of times. And then they ran Murray, and that didn't go too well. But when I rewound the plays twice in a row, I saw Van Noy get flattened and not set the edge at all. I'm just wondering if Haddad saw that at all.
A lot of those plays, the big chunk plays that they got in the running game, I saw it more as the inside linebackers getting caught up.
Okay, so the first one, Roberts feels to me took like he took the wrong gap as usual.
No!
And Van Noy was, I guess, had contained, was on the outside. I mean, that was a massive hole. Like, that was ridiculous.
No, that should be his name now that I think of it. Landon Wrong Gap Roberts.
Like, so I think Roberts got cut up in one hole inside, and Van Noy was, you know, setting the edge, and the run fill, or whatever you call it, is just, it was ridiculous. It was not even close.
And I thought Hightower had some issues also, you know, filling gaps at times in the running game. But, you know, I thought, you know, overall, I thought
overall, you loved Van Noy, didn't you?
Yes. Overall, I've loved Van Noy all year. I think he's been great. They move him. You don't know where he's going to play from week to week, and he executes just about every time. Now, he's not exactly the world's greatest stand-up linebacker from distance.
He's not stout.
No, but, you know, put him on. He's great on the edge. Standing him up on the edge, his instincts, he's been great.
And he's been standing up and talking to you guys in the postgame?
I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks, but he's been great, other than the one time where he said he didn't want to talk after the game. He's been great.
It was probably the game they lost.
I don't remember.
So I see.
It's a yes.
I think it was a home game.
Yeah, it's...
So they probably won.
He's like one of these guys. Bleh, he likes to do that.
Oh, yeah, totally. But I'll tell you, he's gotten better.
Well, he's deserved. He's played well.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. He's gotten better. I've been pleasantly surprised there. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that he basically ripped our nuts off early in the year. I give him all the credit in the world. He's played well. I still don't want to hang out with him, though.
Long commercial free segment is next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Josh, it's that time of year again. There are some vacancies already in the National Football League, and your name has been brought up. I'm just curious your thoughts on your future, but more importantly, in the now, how do you balance doing your job but also keeping an eye on the future?
I don't really worry about the future, and honestly, each week is a tremendous challenge, and we try to stay in the moment and focus on the task at hand, which this week is obviously considerable, considering that we haven't had a lot of success down there. You know, this is a big challenge for us. I didn't do nearly well enough in my role and my job last year when we went down there to Miami, so there's a lot for us to look at, and a great defense for us to go down there and face, where they play extremely well at home. And all the other stuff is just, you know, it is what it is, and don't really pay too much attention to it. Love what we do here, and in terms of working hard to try to come up with the best plan for our players each week, and that's where my focus is going to remain.
Gosh, just quickly, but your future goals didn't change, though. You still want to be a head coach again someday.
If that's in the cards for me, then that's great. I've said that before, but again, I'm not worried about that right now.
Josh McDaniels on the conference call today with NFL Network's Mike Giardi. Handicap the McDaniels situation. Greg, what do you think is going on here? Where do you think he's likely to go? Oh, and I still have a giveaway for you. I got a free something for you that you're going to like. in a few minutes here, so don't leave your radio if you want it. Go ahead.
If I had to bet money on this?
Yes, you had to bet money on it.
He's back here next year. I just don't think it's going to work out. I think the Packers will like somebody else. I think that the Browns will probably make a stupid hire, or at least something more along John Dorsey's tree, whether it's Kansas City, like a Dave Tube, or Green Bay, where Dorsey was for a long time. It could be McCarthy.
McCarthy could be in Dave Tube. For those of you who don't know, Dave Tube is a special teams coach in Kansas City, and for some reason, Bedard has a tuba in his pants over Dave
Tube. I also
Tube.
Mentioned Matt Nagy last year,
too. Okay, go ahead. Keep going.
So, Jordan Devy's here? What?
No, this is Dave, the Tubester.
Tube, the Tubester.
So, I think there's a good chance that McCarthy ends up in Cleveland. And Green Bay, I don't know. It's a huge X factor.
Okay. You think McDaniels is back?
I do.
I don't.
Oh, so we're going through this whole thing again. He hires an agent. He goes on a media campaign. I saw that you wrote that
media
don't.
Campaign, it's not a media campaign.
It's a media campaign.
No, it's not. It's NFL media echo chamber.
It's a media blitz.
Nope. No, it was last time when McDaniels opened up his vault to Dan Pompey and his notebook about the things that he learned from Denver. Like, that was a campaign. This was, okay, here it's hiring season. Jason LaCanfora mentions Josh McDaniels. Other producers are like, oh, yeah, McDaniels, he spurned the Colts. That's a good talker. We should all mention something about Josh McDaniels. That's how it works in NFL media. And so to me, it's not a campaign. It's an echo chamber.
Now, we'll see. We'll see.
So when you say McDaniels is back,
I mean, I think he better be gone.
That means as offensive coordinator?
Yes.
Not as head coach?
Correct.
Okay.
I just don't think there's going to be a right fit for him. I mean, he's looking for the perfect job.
And Green Bay's not?
It could be. I just don't know if Green Bay's going to want him. You know, they're going to do their research on what went on in Denver, and what went on in Denver is not going to fly in Green Bay.
You know? Apparently you're not allowed to cheat in Green Bay.
Oh, we've been missing a few little things. I don't know, a little tape in there, here and there. It can go a long way. I'd take it. But that's not what you're talking about. Just the way he, you know, was a little tyrant in the building, right?
Correct. Yes, that kind of stuff. Now, you know, I'm sure Josh has learned from all that, and he won't do that stuff again. But, you know, when you go to Green Bay, like, those people that work in the organization, like, they live there. They've been there for years. They're like a family. And if you go in there and just run roughshod over people and demean people, like, it's going to get out. And it's going to get back to Murphy, and he's not going to want to have anything to do with it. Now, I'm not saying that Josh is going to do that, but that's the reputation that he has from Denver, and I can just see that kind of stuff giving them great pause.
Okay. So you don't think Josh or his agent are complicit in any of these rumors that are rampant out there at all? They're just innocent bystanders? Like, it's just some media slob throwing something up against the wall and the rest of us copying it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, God. Really? The thing yesterday was...
Is it that much of a leap for people to mention Josh McDaniels as a leading candidate anywhere? He's a leading candidate every single year.
So...
It doesn't have to be a campaign.
Okay, but after he turns that thing down last year and then comes back for huge money this year, it's pretty easy for Josh and his newfound agent just to douse that. He could have doused it today. He could have doused it today by simply saying, I'm not going anywhere. I committed to come back here and I'm going to stay here.
No, there's a difference between him being available and interested in jobs and there being a media campaign. There's a difference.
Oh, well, I suppose there is. But if you're available, you might as well let people know about it. And I think him and his agent are letting people know about it.
I mean, what about this has led you to believe that there's a media campaign? What sort of exclusive access?
Because everyone,
great this or that.
Because
what nugget? I haven't seen any substantial nugget out of McDaniels' camp.
So, well, this thing yesterday, the Greg Robinson report about the assistants withholding, and exactly how is it worded? You know that they've withdrawn their name, or
yeah, that's rumor mill scuttlebutt stuff.
Well, so wait a minute. So, but how do you know it's not a plant, or how do you know it's not legit? When I see someone from every outlet, so you know, Rap has something, and then it was
echo chamber.
Garofolo?
Yep.
And then Field Yates.
So Burt Breer.
Burt Breer. Yeah, Burt. Start with Burt Breer. And I'm not going to out his sources or who he talks to, but I kind of have an idea.
So I start there, and I see Field Yates, and, you know, Field Yates does a fine job, nice kid. I'm not ripping on the guy, but he worked with Josh. He was on the same staff with Josh. Field Yates is like the Belichick guy. So if there was nothing to it or there wasn't a purpose there, I see Field Yates doing the thing. I'm like, oh, well, here we go. So media campaign. I mean,
I think there's a difference between last year when he was out there. There were substantial stories, nuggets, everything out there about Josh's plans, what he learned in Denver, how he's going to be different this time around. This time it's just been Josh's name's out there as a candidate. That's all. So okay. I see a difference. That's just me.
Okay, there may be a difference. Fine. I still think out of nowhere, just 6 months after jumping off the plane and, you know, after taking that contract from the Crafts, and you get just to the Thanksgiving time frame where the coaching stuff starts to percolate, and all of a sudden, here's Josh again. It's like, I don't know, that was just a little too convenient and a little too well-timed across the board.
I'm back to where you were last week. I'm sick of the guy.
Yeah, no, I told you last week, like, dude, poop or get off the pot.
No, boy. I agree with you on that. It's either be a candidate and take a job or say, I'm not interested, I'm staying here. That's it. One of the two things.
I'm done with it. And when you get that job, you better be able to coach after all this nonsense. Well, God help you if you actually suck. And you wasted everyone's time with this crap.
I mean, talk about someone who's constipated. Holy crap, take a dump or move.
Oh, my God, get out of my bathroom. Like, get out of my face already or take a job. And then when you take that job, you better be able to coach. After you carrying yourself like, you know, the next big thing here for about 3 years running. Make up your mind, man. Bedard, 30 seconds on the Dolphins this week. Because that's all they're worth. I mean, because the only thing we can say about the game is that the Patriots go down there and suck.
Yes.
Like, you can't say anything interesting, compelling, or remotely dangerous about the actual team or the franchise of the Dolphins. Okay? I like to relegate that team as well. You know, F them.
I told you, the whole state of Florida.
If the only thing you can say is that they've had a lack of, you know, they've had some trouble in that building or in that city, that's all you can say about this game, right? Is that they've had trouble down there for whatever reason.
Correct. And that Tannehill has looked a little bit better. Since he's been back, I think he has like 5 touchdowns against 1 interception.
Oh, but okay. You gave me something. Thank you.
There's a little something. But no, I don't have a lot of faith in that team.
It's going to be a rock fight. That game's going to be a rock fight. 2017, 23-20, something like that. The Patriots are going to have a hard time scoring down there. Like, you know, and they're going to have to win it with their defense. Sooner or later, their defense has got to win them a game on the road.
Okay. Bedard, thanks for coming in.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Read his stuff at Boston Sports Journal. More importantly, subscribe. It's cheap. It's only like $640 a year. No, what is it?
$35.
I'm sorry, right. $35 a year. He'll get you on that auto renew, though, so watch that. But it's worth it.
His kids need to go to college. Subscribe.
It's worth the coverage. I just kid. It is. It's a great site, and his analysis is obviously the best in town. Boston Sports Journal. Give it a subscription. It's a good gift idea, right, too, Greg?
Yep. We'll be having gift subscription special tomorrow.
Gift subscription special tomorrow at Boston Sports Journal. There you go, big fella.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.